God bless the flag, we all beating our chest. When it's peace, it's the same old game, the same old players, same old name. My skin is my sin. My skin is my sin.
Just listen to the great Teddy Pendergrass. And I like this song because it says, wake up everybody, because our people, we got to wake up to understand what is going on. I want to give you a little bit about what this show is about. This show is very political, and it's about, you know, the things that are going on around in the world, because we have to care about what's going on with our other brothers and sisters in different countries, because all melanated people globally are being affected by different things from different parts of the system. Excuse me. But yeah, so this show is very political about how the things that melanin people can come together and change. not so much looking for the system to change these things. bear with me with my voice. I got a chance to, I think I hear myself saying this every week when I come back from a demonstration. It always seems to happen on the day before the show. Bill Clinton, he got a chance. He tried to sneak in into Queens, New York, and try to lobby some votes for his thieving wife, Hillary Clinton. So our Haitian family, because if you're not aware what happened out there during the earthquake, the Bill Clinton Foundation, you know, they still are and stole billions and millions of dollars from the relief funds for the Haitian people when they had the earthquake. So, you know, I try to stay on top of not just the things that are going on here in America, but also what's happening to our brothers and sisters around the world. So, you know, I got a chance to scream out to them a couple of times, you know, where's the Haitians' money? And, you know, your wife's a thief. So I felt kind of good about that. And, you know, and I know that's not going to change his position, but, you know, we need to let these people know that we're not laying down. So once again, bear with my voice, you know. But this show tonight is about institutional racism within the healthcare system and our food. Because a lot of things that are happening in our neighborhoods and, as you want to say, our communities, because some people use communities and neighborhoods, but I personally think we have neighborhoods because the community, for me, is that we've came together and things are properly being ran. And as of now, we don't have that economical stability to really actuality to say that we have a community. So, but what's happening within the food industry and through just the healthcare is that, one, they're making us sick by the foods that they're putting in our neighborhoods. And the only way we'll be able to combat that is by having our own grocery stores and also growing our own food. And the healthcare, which the reason why I have my guest on, one of the main reasons, is because he's an herbalist. And there are so many herbs out there that can combat the prescriptions. Not saying that I won't say they're not effective because that's not my expertise. It may take a little bit more for his cleansing the body and all that, but I'll let the expert get to that in a moment. But, you know, this is a major thing that's going on in America is that they continuously poison our foods and water, so that perpetuates our health. And then they don't want to give us proper health care. We have to continuously to pay overpriced for health care. And not just that, when we don't have enough money to pay health care, we get poor health care. I mean, and we get with Medicaid and all those things like that, you know, that doesn't put you on I think it's HMO, that you got to see these particular doctors that are, that is a part of that sector. So, you know, these are some big issues we need to address, but also try to also come together to come to a solution. Because, like I say, this is about this movement, the No D movement, is about moving your feet for change. This is not just getting on here talking about, oh, I hate the system, crackers this, honkies this. No, we need to figure out within our own race how to love each other and how to come together and fix these issues. So without further ado, I would like to bring in our host. He is a black nationalist. He's a farmer, a black farmer, and an herbalist. And he's also has a book coming out. But, you know, I'm not gonna release all the secrets. But without further ado, I would like to bring in McVarsity Porte. Caller, are you on the air?
Yes, I'm here. How you doing, sister?
Yes, I'm doing good, brother. How are you today?
I'm very good. Very enlightened to be here.
Yes, yes, yes. I'm over here with my pen right now because I know you are about to drop some knowledge tonight, because I want to let everybody know this is not a fly-by-night type of guy, because I kind of got involved with him. I was watching his posts, and he was just dropping knowledge about just things that are going on with the foods in our community and also just the herbs. And that's one of the reasons why I was intrigued by this king, because just the knowledge that he was putting on Facebook, and I mean, I knew this would be good for us, for our communities, neighborhoods, so that we can get this work in tonight. So I'm going to hush and close my mouth and let you put in this work in and anything we, you know, I have any questions. And if you want to call in to listen to the show, 347-855-8692. And if you want to chime in, press 1. And if you're listening to us by web, go to if you want to listen by web, go to www.blogtalkradio.com/myskinismysin. So, Mr. Porte, let's get to this work. So you know what the show is about and everything. Can you give us some insight about what's going on with the health care and them poison in our foods and our waters, and how can we combat these things that are happening within the system?
Well, I mean, you know, first of all, when you're talking about health care, you know, we all know health care doesn't exist in the United States, you know, especially for black people. There's no such thing as a government health care. But what a lot of these super pharmacy companies are keeping away from herbs and spices or things that actually natural remedies or resources that we could be utilizing to benefit us, they don't allow them to necessarily put it onto market. Like, for instance, there's a herb called milk thistle, which is actually used to shrink the tumors of cancer. But the FDA don't want to approve tonight milk thistle to be used, you know, or to be consumed. Like, you may find them smallly in capsule forms or something like that, but to be used openly for that particular treatment of cancer, they really don't allow that to be put out there into stores for that particular use, because it would take away from them actually treating people with, you know, all these different type of programs, cancer programs and stuff like that, you know, and radiation. They treat people with cancer and stuff. So it actually would take away from that. So there's actually a lot of things, a lot of herbs and a lot of natural remedies that can really be used, that should be actually used in stores, that are not being used now because of the fact that I think the government, the main part is the government wants to continue to gain money and continue to build off of the pains of, you know, those who can't afford those the expensive drugs and so on. Now, so it's really a huge hassle, you know. But I think one of the ways that we can help change that and turn that around is not trying to go through the system, but try to develop our own, you know. And I always speak on looking into farming, looking into, like, growing your own herbs. And I know everybody's not a farmer. This is why it's important for us to stay in contact with people who are farmers or people who do produce their own herbs and their own vegetables, you know, and their own natural that actually that can help people, you know, herbs as well, you know, and teach people, educate. We need schools as well to make farmers. We need programs as well to make farmers and those herbalists and people such as myself, and we need to put that into play. And I think that's the main reason why we have to depend on a lot of what the government gives, is because we don't have anything self-sufficiency for ourselves.
I agree with that 100%, because it's like I can say for myself, whenever I had gotten sick one time, and I got really, really sick, and, you know, they gave me a bunch of steroids and all these things like that, and it cleared up the problem with the mucus that I had within my lungs. But the side effects was, like, extremely bad, like agitation, and, you know, I got a little depressed. But you know what I did? After I took the medication, I did a cleanse, and then I did the, which that's something you had recommended me to do. I did a Himalaya soak into the sea salt Himalaya, well, the Himalaya salt. I did that, and then I also every day I started taking ginger, and I started taking the turmeric, and I felt 100% better, and I didn't go through that process where, you know, when you get sick and everything and they give you the medication and you got to cough up all the mucus and the phlegm and all these things like that. But I didn't have to go through that. It's almost like the herbs kind of like, it kind of like soaked it up like a sponge, so I didn't go through that stage of it. So I honestly know for a fact that herbs are 100% real. This is not some hocus-pocus thing that people tend to, but it's just a part of that institutional racism that the system has made us to be scared of those things, like, oh, be careful with that turmeric. But we've been cooking with those ever since we were in Africa, but now you're saying be careful of it. But I want you to tell me, talk to the people about when you say, you know, taking herbs, that we have to be careful with taking herbs, even though they're from the earth.
Well, first of all, to the first comment on what you just got to say, I think the biggest problem with reason why there are not enough blacks that are involved in herbs, because there's a lot of white people that are. The biggest consumer of herbs and natural remedies are white. And I think the reason why there are not enough blacks that are doing it is because we don't have access to it. I mean, if you go on a corner store, if you go to the corner, the stores that you see are fast food joints. We need to replace those with natural stores that where we can actually get that coconut milk. You know, we can actually, I'm not talking about a grocery store. I'm talking about stores where we actually have that in place of fast food joints. We can get those natural vitamins, or we can get those natural remedies, or, you know, natural non-GMO fruit and vegetables and stuff like that. We have more access to junk food, and it's far more cheaper to buy a hamburger than it is to actually go and spend money on something that's going to be healthy, you know. And I think because it's so expensive, and a lot of these urban areas where the junk food is predominantly there, is the reason why there's not a lot of black people that have access to them. The reason why there's not a lot of consumers of herbs and natural fruits and vegetables that are African American. You know, and if we change that by putting more of that into our communities, because everybody's winning off our communities. We're the only ones that's not winning. We're the only ones that's not making any profit off of our communities. You know, the Asians make profit off what they bring to us, you know, and as well as the Arabs, they make profit off what they give us. You know, now a lot of the Subway stores are owned by Arabs and stuff like that. So, you know, they bring all this artificial food and all this, you know, I mean, Subway is not even real bread. That's not even actual bread. But, you know, majority of the consumers of Subway are African American because they put into a lot of the urban communities. So with that being said, we have so much of everybody else's stuff that we can't concentrate on spending our dollar on purchasing health that's beneficial for our health when we don't have it available. So that's what I say about that. But what I was saying about being serious about herbs and stuff, basically people have to take into deep consideration that when you're dealing with herbs, you're dealing with something just as important as it was if you take a Tylenol. You know, when people take Tylenol or leaves and things of that nature, they take more consideration and seriousness with it because, you know, they have been told by the doctor or whatever prescription that's provided for them that it's dangerous, you know, if you take it without this such and such causing, you know, take this every 2 hours or take this such and such. A lot of times we treat herbs just like herbs. We don't look at it that it's real, actual, it's medicine. We don't take it into consideration. You know, if we don't use it properly, we may not necessarily get the right benefits from it that we want. Like, for instance, you know, it's people with natural colds, normal colds, and they can take something like, ginger root, which would be very, very helpful for someone who's dealing with a fever of some sort and may not get the same benefit out of it if they took marshmallow tea, marshmallow root, which is very excellent in drying up colds, coughs, infections, and things of mucus of that nature.
is very good on things like that. So it's like it depends on the person. Everybody biologically, chemically is different. So what I may can take that may help me, even if it's herbal, it may not necessarily do the best for you, because I know people who are allergic to oranges. See what I'm saying? So it doesn't mean that just because you're taking herbs that, you know, you're going to automatically, you know, it's going to fix everything. You have to know what you can take and what you can't take because, you know, biologically we're different. And, you know, you have to also take in consideration that your body reacts differently to different herbs. So depending on what it is, depending on what herb can necessarily work for you. So that's the importance of actually taking consideration in the herbs and not just jumping up taking something. We need to be deeply educated on it. It's something that we was originally naturally good at. Now I think people need to be re-educated on herbs and the uses of them and how well they work for us, because there's a lot of benefits there. And, you know, and the government knows the benefits that are there. They just keep it away from us. They try to keep us from having access to that. Same thing I was saying about the neighborhood. You know, we don't have access to anything that's beneficial for our health. You know, I can stop at a Subway or a Burger King before I ever get to a Whole Foods. You know, I'm pretty sure in most African American communities, neighborhoods, there's a Burger King closer than a Whole Foods. You know, and Whole Foods is not even 100% authentic when it comes to health. There's a lot of things in Whole Foods that they sell that's not even authentic. You know, there's a lot of things that are not, like a lot of things that they sell products-wise. And you know, there's canned goods in Whole Foods, you know, and I don't recommend anybody eating any kind of canned vegetables and stuff, but they sell canned vegetables and stuff. So, you know, there's a lot of things there that's not necessarily beneficial at Whole Foods either. But that would be the most well-known, accessible place where you could actually go purchase something that would be of herbal benefit. You know, so most people will be familiar with Whole Foods. But we need another outlet. We need another place where we can actually go put our dollar that is black-owned that produces, you know, the kind of vegetables and fruits and herbs that is healthy for us, that's non-GMO. You know, and really I don't see us finding that in the United States anytime soon. So when I go to, like, order any kind of seeds that I need for farming or something, you know, I try not to deal with a lot of American, a lot of people here in the United States, because you can't trust their seeds, you know. It's not so much that they're just putting fruit or vegetables out there on the market or herbs, because there's herbs that's also GMO. People don't realize that either. So it's not just they just putting herbs and fruits and vegetables out there that has GMO in them, but it's also the fact that the seeds that produce them, you have hybrids that's out there in the supermarket now. 90% of what fruits and vegetables that's being consumed in the supermarkets are hybrids. What that means is that they genetically modified how the vegetable or fruit was grown, which means it could be a single base vegetable or fruit that produces a seed, but you can't take that seed and put it in the soil and grow another from it. So basically it's a unit. It's like having no sex. You know, it's neither male or female. So that's usually what you see in the supermarket, it's hybrid. They're not necessarily GMO, but they're not necessarily beneficial for you health-wise either. You bring bananas home, they spoil in 3 days. That has something to do with the production of them. That's a hybrid. You know, you go get an apple, you don't eat apples within a week, they rotten inside. Cantaloupes, they soft all around the bottom of them, less than 6 days. And this is only because they're producing and manufacturing these vegetables and fruits and stuff on a different temperature. And they're actually splicing the seeds to produce hybrid seeds. You know, it's like it's a quicker way and a faster way for them to produce fruits. Like, it's no way you should have a watermelon in the wintertime. When I went to one store, they had watermelons lined up in the wintertime. I'm like, this is ridiculous. But see, people don't know any better. This is why we need to be educated to know what's beneficial and what's not beneficial, you know, for us to be consuming health-wise. So same thing with herbs. It goes back to herbs. Same thing with herbs. There's a lot of herbs on the market that is not authentic. One in particular, you can say peppermint. Peppermint is a hybrid herb. It's not an authentic herb. You know, peppermint is a combination of two separate individually herbs that was put together to create peppermint. So it's a hybrid, you know. A lot of people don't realize that it is, but it is. You know, so we have to be educated on what's beneficial for us. And once we're educated on it and we have more of ourselves, our people, producing non-GMO fruits and vegetables and herbs and stuff like that, I think we'll be more inclined to want to partake in it, you know, especially once we learn about it. So that's what's very important. So we have to take considerations of it.
You know, I'm listening to everything you're saying, and I'm like, I just wrote a note over here because I had to come back to this. This thing you said about the Subway bread just blew my mind, because I don't eat Subway anyways, and I stay away from bread anyways. But I don't eat bread. I don't eat Subway anyways, because when I saw one day, I saw a mouse inside the cookies. So, but this before I was knowledgeable about just health, period. But nevertheless, I used to eat Subway, you know, and the processed meat and all those things. And they, you know, they said they're healthy, you know, after they put the child molester on the commercials and stuff. He lost all this weight and whatever. But, you know, so the but I'm really tripped out that you said that it's not real bread. I mean, can we elaborate on that if you have more to that? Or maybe we can, another show, we can revisit that, if, because I don't want to, I don't know how much you know about the particular bread, because I know you know a lot about herbs and stuff, but is it any way that you can elaborate on the bread?
Well, I mean, it's substance-based. Basically, what they use is a material some similar to plastic, and the texture of the bread is I think it's supposed to be only 60% of wheat, and the rest of it is added with another substance. It's supposed to be carbon, plastic, and then something else that's added to it. So it's not. The fact that it's only 60% of wheat, and we know that it's supposed to be 100%, the fact that it's only 60% right there tells me enough. I don't want to fool with it, you know. So it's substance-based, but it's just amazing how people go in there and it without knowing.
No, my apologies. I was just saying 50% wheat, 60% wheat,
mm-hmm.
and then the rest plastic and carbon and I don't know what else. That's enough to make
it. A lot of times that's why I was saying that a lot of times when you look at what's being sold to our people, Black people spend their money a lot on junk food, and the reason is being, those that want to eat healthy probably can't even afford to eat healthy, because to eat healthy is expensive. I mean, let's just be real. It's expensive. People that say it's not expensive is because they either growing their own food or they have access to already grown food. You can go to the farmer's market and they would charge you more than what you would probably purchase at a local grocery store to buy fruits and vegetables, you know. And not only that, I think what the real kicker is that you could get more of the junk food. And I'm calling anything that's bought from the grocery store is going to be still considered junk food. You can probably get more of the junk food to fill your basket up than you probably could go into the farmer's market, because it's so expensive. And that you will pay less and gain more. Look at the water. The water is the same kind of water that you get out of, you know, under the sink. That tap water. I had someone tell me one time that you know, tap water is polluted in certain cities. It's polluted in every city, not just Flint, Michigan. It's everywhere. It's, water is polluted, period, that comes from the faucet. And a lot of this water that you buy from the store, that's bottled water, is really the same thing as tap water. They just put a label on it. They just turn around and put Aquafina on there, or they turn around and put Dasani on. Dasani is a terrible water, very terrible water. You know, it's chemical-based, you know. It's a shy away from having chlorophyll in it. You know, but when you're consuming, if you're looking to consume natural water, try looking for water that has a pH level on it. With a pH level, leastways you know how many minerals is in the water and how many is not in the water. So if it has 8.7 or 9.5, you know what you're getting. So I tell people that who's trying to look to get natural water, if you don't want to do that, try to get filtered water, you know. You know, try to consider getting your water filtered or, you know, of that sort. Because it's gotten to the point where it's just as difficult to purchase a bottle of water as it is to eat an apple. And they're usually put into the same place. So we don't have anywhere. Yes.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, I said we don't have anywhere to really just spend our money, to put our money to actually get our health out of it. Because a lot of what we buy and consume, 85% of what we purchase at these local stores, whether it be Walmart, whatever, is really not beneficial for us, health-wise. So when it comes buying herbs and stuff, even with herbs, a lot of people come to me and ask me, okay, what herb can I get to help me, you know, or whatever, and they have some situation, something going on with them medically or something like that, and they ask me for help on herbs. And if when I tell them what I know is beneficial for them, I also try to explain to them, be careful where you purchase it. Because it's one thing to tell someone, oh, you have a headache? Okay, get a Feverfew. They're great on headaches. It is. It's a great herb for headache. But if I tell you this and you go somewhere, say, Walmart, and you purchase it somewhere there, I can't guarantee you that you may get the same benefits out of it had you had to purchase it somewhere that actually sells natural products. And also, just because you know that the herb is beneficial for you, read the back of the labels and find out what it has in it. You know, read the back of it. Make sure you know that it's authentic, because what they like to do, a lot of these super pharmacy companies and a lot of these, what they do with medicine is they mix medicine together. Like you may find a little bit of herb or something on a bottle of something that's supposed to be considered for sleep. You know, people have a sleep disorder or something like that. So they do the same thing in the grocery stores. You know, you're buying some kind of tea or you're buying something, some type of herb or something like that for whether it's in a capsule form or something. And they may have something else mixed with it on the back, or they got 10% of sodium. You don't need sodium with an herb. That's automatic, no. You know, I looked on the back of some coconut sugar one day, and I saw sodium on there. I turned around, I saw 2% white sugar. I'm like, wait a minute, what do you need another extra grain of sugar along with coconut sugar? Coconut sugar comes from coconut. So what I need, chemical-based white sugar along with coconut sugar. Then they turn around and I saw artificial flavor of brown sugar flavor. I'm like, this is ridiculous. You know, I'm buying coconut sugar. I'm supposed to get coconut sugar. You don't need all that extra stuff, you know, in an herbal product. So we got to be mindful of what we purchase and where we purchase it at, because a lot of these places, you say, well, I tried that and that didn't help me. It probably didn't help you because you bought it from a place where they already have something mixed to it. You know, I love grape juice. And when I go to any kind of a local market or something like that to purchase grape juice, I try to turn around and look at the back of the bottle to see what's in it. Because they be having artificial flavors in there. Then they have a blended of of just other unnecessary carbonites and all that. I'm like, what is all this? Just for some juice? This is grape juice we talking about. Instead of just having grape juice, they got all this other stuff added in with the grape juice. That's not
and
necessary.
I heard that. I heard that they do that because to try to keep, to preserve it long, to so that it can preserve long enough to put on the shelf and sell, so they don't have to make new batches of it, so it'll stay long enough to sell. Because honestly, if you think about it, if you put raw, straight up raw orange juice or straight up raw grape juice, that's not going to last long. That's not going to be on the shelf January and then say good until September. That's not going to work. So I definitely agree with you on that. I also, for myself, I use alkaline water that one of my friends, he's big on just earth and healthy living and things like that. So he has a machine that produces, you know, take the tap water and put it through the machine that produces alkaline water. And that's something that I'm looking to invest in within the end of the year. I mean, it's about $3,000. But, I mean, I'm wondering, do you know a way that you can alkaline something a little bit cheaper?
Well, I think alkaline water itself, any water, should be considered as what benefits it has in it, you know, what minerals it has in it. Always, like I said, always look at the pH level regardless of it. But when you're converting water from tap water into alkaline water, there are machines that are actually able to convert the water over, separate what's in the water into pure filtered water. That's no more different than having just drinking filtered water. I'm not talking about like in the companies, you can go get companies to come to your house and bring bottled water. I'm talking about water that actually goes through a ferrated. And that's pretty much what you're talking about with the alkaline water to be separated. So those are like, those pretty much natural. I recommend also what we should do is go back into investing into well water. And I say that because well water is water that's from the earth. You know for a fact they haven't been tampered with. But it also requires a lot of work to maintain, you know, having a well and things of that nature. But well water is very, very useful. This is one of the things that helped a lot of the countries in Africa when they're producing their own water, they use wells. They still use that ancient technology because it works. And the water is trusted. You know, that's trusted water from the earth. That's not water that someone have sent through a pipe that's been manipulated and added some kind of chemical-based substance inside the sending through a pipe for it can be coming out into your home. That's water that actually that's been drawn from the earth. Definitely when it comes to purified water, I recommend looking into that for those who can afford it and who can afford to spend the money into investing into it. But we have to get back into the earth. We have to get back into the natural substance of things. We have to get back to being self-sufficiency. We have to get back to growing our own food. And like I said, for those who can't grow their own food, they need to be in contact with a local farmer. You know, we need more black farmers. We need more black producers of natural herbs and herbalists and fruits and vegetables of that sort. We need that. Even when like I said about water, we need access to that for ourselves. So we have to kind of put our money toward establishing that for ourselves. That to me is that's revolutionary to me.
Yes.
Revolutionary to me is far beyond just protesting. This is not the 1970s anymore. You know, this is not the 70s, 74, 75 anymore. Now we have to take deep consideration into our well-being, health-wise, conscious-wise, you know, spiritually-wise. All of this is connected. We need to take deep consideration to that as black people. And I recommend that we start by building a self-sufficiency for ourselves individually. Because if you can't establish yourself, it's impossible to be able to help the next man, the next brother. You know, all these skills and gifts that we have as a people, because there are a lot, and black people are tremendously gifted. We should try to put them into play where it can benefit ourselves as a whole. You know, each one teach one. We got to go back into that concept. You know, revolution to me is when you see a black mother and father working together to establish a foundation structure for their children that's not governed by the school system. That's revolutionary. When you see a black man or a black woman business entrepreneur that's establishing a business that not only recycles black dollars but employs black people where they themselves can also become entrepreneurs of their own, that's revolutionary. You know, when you see how we can interface and take care of the elderly, the black elderly, without giving our elderly up to be taken care of in a lot of these nursing homes, that's revolutionary. To me, this is revolutionary. This is the new form of revolutionary. We need to embody that. Self-sufficiency is revolutionary. Health, spiritually health, mental health, because there's a lot of mental illness, that's revolutionary. So, you know, as much as I can educate people on what to put into their bodies, also you have to be educated on what comes out of them, you know. So spiritually wise, mentally wise, physically wise, all this goes hand in hand. What happens with your body physically can affect you spiritually. What happens with your body physically can affect you mentally, and vice versa, you know? So it all goes hand in hand. Revolutionary is black efficiency at its greatest to me. You know, it's beyond the fact of this, what you're living for. It's what you're living for. It's a lifestyle.
I definitely agree with that because, like you say, revolution, I believe revolution is all those parts as well, because you got to be active and you got to get involved. You just can't sit back and say, oh, well, I took my kids to school, I went to church, all these different things. You have to actually be involved with your own self and with like you were talking about the elderly. We have to find ways to better take care of them. And, you know, like, you know me, just from just me posting and me and our conversations, that I'm very political, because that's where I stand the line there of like, hey, okay, the cops are out here killing us. Now, we went out there and made awareness that for the people who didn't know or the people who feel hopeless in those other towns. Now, what are we going to do to put into action so they'll stop killing us or stop raping us or whatever that is? So I always tell people, there is different, it's a revolution, it's a revolutionary body and a revolutionary mind. So there are different parts and different aspects of that body. Everybody's not going to be a herbalist. Everybody ain't going to be political. But everybody should be coming together to do something. It shouldn't just be a everyday or ordinary day for you. You woke up, you dropped your kids off in school, you went to work, you took in the Bible study of wherever you spiritually surround yourself of, and went back to home, and you do that every day, Monday through Friday, but you didn't do anything else to help, not just yourself, but help someone else. And so I agree with you 100% about being a revolutionary. I got a question. Wait, 1 second. Once again, if you're listening and you want to comment, you know, because I know we have listeners out there, but, you know, some people just like to listen and I can dig it. But if you're on Facebook right now and you're checking out the post, you know, like I just sent something through, and if you're listening and you want to share it with someone else, the number is 347-855-8692. And to chime in, press 1. go to the Blog Talk Radio station, My Skin Is My Sin, to listen to the web. But I have a question for you. I want to know about filters. If you was going to recommend a filter for the people, what would you recommend and who? Do you have a brand or just simply Googling and looking for specific things that the filter should do?
Well, I don't have a particular brand that I can just tell you that would be beneficial because depending on the manufacturing of them, you know, they're all supposed to help you when it comes to converting water over. But to just tell you what specifically to get, since I don't know all of them, you know, and I know that pretty much the basic system of it is just converting water. You don't really need one in particular, one special, for to convert water over. I say just anything, any alkaline compressor or water filter that refilters water would be a good place to start. You know, any substance filter that allows you to, they have some where you can actually like put water into like a jug or container, and before it comes out, it refilters and separates. It goes through a process of cleaning and re-separates the water. So when it comes out into your cup, it's alkaline based. They have some like that, and then they have some that's more so like the flooring machine. Like it's from the ground up, and it looks similar to what a cappuccino machine would look like. And you can basically put your cup under there, and it processes the water. It reprocesses the water the whole time that the machine is filled with the water. And from there, you can put your cup up in there, and then alkaline water comes up. So yeah, I don't necessarily have a particular type, but anything that refills water for alkaline would be a good place to look into.
Yeah, I know I used to use the Brittle, and I don't know how well that is, but I know I used to use the Brittle filter on the faucet. I used to put it on the faucet. So, but let me ask you a question. Boiling water to cook with, is that safe or not?
It's very safe. It's very safe because especially when the water gets to a boiling temperature at a deeply heated substance, it burns away any kind of bacteria that has been living in the water before boiling it. You know, so it's very beneficial. Actually, water is being boiled. I would also recommend that as well because I think your water has to go through a process of being boils to actually be clean. You can't have clean water just going through a little pipeline and then, you know, because most filters, they go through a process of separating the minerals in the water. So in order way to really separate it, it has to be boiled. It has to be heated. So it's important to look into that as well. I think boiling water is very beneficial, very healthy to have boiled water. Cook with and things of that nature, you know. But I would still recommend if you just want to start out with something, is alkaline water. You know, just alkaline water. I use alkaline water pretty much for everything. I don't use tap water for nothing. Majority of the stuff I use is alkaline water. And you got to understand that a lot of these companies that produce this water, they make profit off that too, because they found the way around it. They found out how to put out water. That's why I tell you, even alkaline water, you should still look at the pH level on it. Because if you don't look at the pH level, even water that says alkaline on the label could be bad. Just because it says alkaline doesn't mean it's alkaline. They slapping labels on tap water. The same company that produced Fuji water is the same company that produces Coca-Cola. So should I trust Coca-Cola? You know, any less CC water? So, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I tell you, I think what I enjoyed when I was growing up as a kid, I grew up in like this small town in Florida, and our water came from the well. It was just straight up out the well, and we had to take care of the well because the pipe that led from the well to the house, if we didn't wrap it up during the wintertime, the pipe would freeze and we would be messed up until one of my uncles figured out how to unfreeze the pipe. And I tell you, that's one thing I do miss is just drinking some good old well water. And I'm telling you, if you know the listeners out there, if you ain't never had some well water, I tell you, you missing something. You talking about some acquainted thirst. I tell you, that's one thing I do miss. But like you say, us getting land to invest in those things, and that's, I definitely will be getting with you about, for the next show that'll be coming up, and it'll be dealing with the economic institutionalized racism within, the jobs and, just trying to purchase property, how they have, interchangeable through that. But what you're saying about buying land, how do we come together as people to even go about that process of getting land? Like, for myself and my partners, we live in New York, and to go upstate, like upstate New York, they got land for like $8,000. But it's nothing like the land being down south because of the weather. So how do us as people, how would you recommend us going about getting land down south or getting with somebody that can get produce here to New York so that we can support like any farmers in New York and down south that are black that are willing to interchangeable as far as bringing produce this way so that we can support, the communities? Because buying land here in New York, I mean, it's feasible, but we won't get a lot of produce out of there because of the weather conditions. So do you know any landowners that are willing to even work in that to see how we can, make that happen?
Well, I think we have to get back into recycling our dollars. That's the main thing, is that you have to start off small. Even if the ownership of purchasing land is just an acre or two, you got to start off small. And those that can't have access to owning their own land, like you said, can support those that do, those that are closer to where the sun helps to grow their crops and things of that nature, where the weather is better and stuff. They should support those, people. And, if we help build each other up, we'll be able to, help each other grow and be able to continue to be self-sufficiency. And now we have our own businesses. Now we have our own everything, for real, not just using the black name when it's really still controlled by whites. So I think looking into sovereignty should be very important. That's something that I think we should take in consideration as well. Sovereignty is something that gives us more freedom, It gives us more freedom than just being part of just being a citizen. And purchasing land, like I said, starting off small and being able to buy acres of land here and there. There's land in the South for land that's cheaper too. As you say, $8,000, you can buy a lot probably for like $1,500, an acre lot. Depends on where you are in the South, So just starting small. That's enough to farm. Like, you don't need a huge amount of land to farm. That's enough right there to produce. If you know how to lay out your crops, that's enough to actually grow vegetables and herbs and stuff. And then a lot of some vegetables and herbs can be grown inside. They can be grown in pots. You know, you can actually build you a greenhouse and grow plants and stuff inside of your greenhouse. So there's ways
okay.
around it. And you accumulate the enough land where you can, you know, have more and more and more, you know. And I think it's important that we get together and we put together our own farmer's market. We need that. We need our own farmer markets that's ran by blacks, not controlled by whites, but controlled by us. We need to be able to go to a farmer market where there's nothing but black farmers producing black, you know, producing vegetables and herbs and vegetables and stuff for the black community. Every community needs a black farmer's market. Majority of the farmer's markets are controlled by white. You know?
Wow. No, I agree. I definitely know that. I mean, I live near a farmer's market, and it's amazing because a lot of the melanated people that are near my area, because I live in it's not predominantly white, but it's like upper class mixed white, black, whatever you want to say. But just two blocks over, because the way New York is set up, two blocks over, it's a lot of black people there, and they won't even go down to the farmers market where these farmers are coming up from different states that are bringing the products that they could get cheaper, and it's not regulated by the government. Because I learned something from this one guy. He told me that it's organic, but it's not organic by the FDA FDA approval because it costs too much money. But I said, so how do you? I just asked the question. You know, I was like, well, how do you keep bugs and all that stuff out of your, you know, produce and things like that? And he was like, we just spray it with grape leaf juice. So just that in itself, just learning that knowledge, that the white people will find that knowledge out, but we won't even come visit this store. We won't even come to that farmer's market. And, you know, of course it's run by white people, and I understand that. We need to get our own shit. But until we do, you can go right to this farmer market that is not FDA ran or nothing like that. And I try to tell black people that I run into that live close enough that they could even walk over there. And I'll see them straight in the grocery store buying the food, the produce that is not even considered organic or whatever. And I'm like, and they're paying a higher price than what they would even get at the farmer's market. So we definitely got to even get to the point of conditioning the minds for change.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's a process because, you know, it was a lot put into the brainwashing.
Yeah.
Now we gotta be smarter. We have to take consideration into helping one another. We have to put a lot of great deal into rebuilding our family. And then we have a lot of psychological damage that has been inflicted upon us as a people as well. You know, and I'm a firm believer that you can't have an organized people when the people themselves are disorganized. You know, and in order to reestablish that, you have to start from the ground up. You know, we need places where we are being educated on the black man and black woman is being educated on themselves. You know, we spend 6 hours of a day at their schools not learning about ourselves. The majority of the time children are there, they're being educated not of black information or knowledge, but of everybody, a watered down version of it, you know. So that has a lot to do with it, you know. And like I said, it goes back to, if you went to school, right, and you went to college and you got this degree and this education and this master's and PhD and all this kind of great stuff, instead of becoming leaving that college and that university, you know, and building a career out of it, try building a business. Don't look for a career. Look for a business. Establish a business, a black-owned business where you yourself own that business. You know, take that knowledge and information and put it back into the black community where you can say, hey, you don't have to go to University of Phoenix, or you don't have to go to JSU or, you know, all these universities and stuff. You can come to me and my school that's black-owned, and I can educate you, and you can learn the same thing for a cheaper, lesser price, and there you're receiving the entirety of the information and knowledge, not just a watered-down version of it. You know, I had to go through this process to learn more about myself, to gain the information that I have, so now I can put you in a position where you can start off better. You got a better head start than I had to, because I had to spend all this money in school, you know. And now the next man ain't got to spend his money in school to learn this. You know, I'm not talking about me personally. I'm just saying, in general, that's how we should look at it. If you put all this money into this college to get this education, take that education and do what the other races do. Put it back into their own people. That's why I say we need our own black farmers market. And like you said, until we get that, it's okay to go to their farmers market, because leastways we're still learning and we're gaining something from it. But once you gain the information, because it's all stolen information anyway, once you gain that information, turn around and use it where it can be beneficial for yourself and your people and your family. And that makes a huge difference than taking that information and to be part of what they have, because they want you to go to school and get a good job and get a good education and a good career so you can be the best worker bee for them. That's like, you know what I'm saying, you're working for them. So your career is only based on their salary that they're giving you, you know? But
no, when, I agree.
When it's all said and done, you don't own anything.
Exactly. That's why I always, and it just goes collectively as us as people, in which we're working on it. Because, you know, like I say, this show is about, you know, this. Yeah. I don't even like calling it a show. This movement is about the issues that we have and how do we come collectively together. Just like I would always see a lot of people with, like, different, like, name brand things and all these things, but you don't own nothing. Like, even just down to just having life insurance. Just having that concept of life insurance, because personally, I think if it wasn't, not even say inhumane, but if it wasn't like the bodies were decomposing, we just have a bunch of decomposing bodies everywhere, I just don't see the point why we spend all this money on funerals and all that. Just cremate the Joker and throw the ashes somewhere and let the birds use it for a nest. You know, that's just my concept, don't think. I know that's a little off base right now, but what I'm saying is we're so quick to, like, buy stuff, but we won't invest in the things for us. And it's the teaching. It's exactly like you say, deprogramming and teaching, because just the information you just gave tonight, I always got to say thank you for the information you always give me outside of just, you know, on the station tonight, but just the information you gave as far as, you know, getting a piece of land that, you know, you don't need that much to get 3 or 4 acres. Get with somebody you know down south, you know, and I know we have to get past the trust issues that has been imposed on us from hundreds of years, but we got to start somewhere that, you know, we got to get land, we got to do something, and I'm definitely going to get with you because I know you're down south, that, you know, after this call and later on this week, maybe we could get together and talk about some things on a level of farming, because you have that expert, you know, information on just growing, period. But I just want to say thank you for calling in and definitely giving the information that we needed and putting in that work and taking time out of your night to even come on the radio station. And I know I'll be hearing from you, and I know that I'll be having you on the show for many more things, you know, even getting into the spiritual aspect of it on a different platform, you know, because this is more political. And, you know, but like you say, there's different parts of revolutionary that we have to address. And you do stand firm on certain things that I believe in that will help our people. But, I mean, is there any, I don't want to just leave it like that, but is there anything else you want to give to the people that they can take home with them tonight?
Only that we have to love each other. We have to care about each other. That's the key root to even building with each other. You can't build with someone that you don't care nothing about. We have to get back to loving each other. Ways that we can help and reestablish that self-sufficiency and that revolutionary mindset and all this, the ways we can benefit our people is not just through a financial standpoint, but also through our words and how we treat each other. You know, we should use these platforms that we have, these social media platforms, and, you know, because they're not controlled by us, but we need to use them to our advantage and, you know, and spread positivity, pass, you know, a lot of information out there that can be useful to each other. You know, use these platforms and use our voice. If we have, like what you're doing, I love what you're doing with this radio station, because you're allowing shine on people that have information, and you yourself that has information. Your voice is what helping us. You know, not just the stuff that you do behind the scenes, because I know you do a lot of stuff behind the scenes, but this radio station also helping black people as a whole, because, you know, it's benefiting us not just on a mental sense or a social sense, but spiritually it helps us. You know, anything that brings us together, mind, body, and spirit, is worth taking the time and effort into listening to, you know, and learning from and growing from. So I think that's definitely something we should do. Use these platforms we have, whatever platform you on, whatever position you in, use it to actually be, you know, a difference in someone else's life, you know, to actually help build each other up and not tear each other down. Because, you know, psychologically, we have been trained to look at each other and as competition. We have been trained to look at each other negatively. We have been trained and conditioned to always think the worst of each other. That's all we see on television and movies and stuff. We've seen negative images of ourselves being displayed considerately, you know, consciously. You know, we're seeing this. We have to break these cycles, these psychological cycles that we have that prevents us from dealing with each other as a whole. I mean, we're willing to support another race before we'll support our own, you know? And then those that do have businesses, they want to cheat you. You know, if you come into their store, you come into their business, they want to cheat you because you're black. But then when somebody else come in their store that's of, you know, that's not of color, they treat them fairly. So we got to get away from this psychological damage. There's a lot of psychological damage that we have, where we automatically look at each other and we treat each other lesser, and we need to stop doing that, you know. And I know a lot of these trends that's going around now. We got a lot of this, you know, trends coming around, and we got to look at how they're making money off our pain. You know, they shoot us down in the street, then they turn around and say Black Lives Matter, you know. And the same ones that's pulling the trigger, you know, the ones that's pulling the trigger are the ones that's co-signing for Black Lives Matter. So we need to wake up and start to be about each other and start to. And if you can't physically do anything, then spreading the word, taking that platform, whether it's Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, you see somebody that has information, that's putting information out there, spread that information around. Share that information. Even if you can't physically do anything to benefit someone, or, you know, if you see someone that needs support and something that they got going on and they're legit with it and they're really serious about changing the situation of black people, support it financially if you can. You know, so this is something that we should definitely be doing to help each other. You know, even this station right here, I support it 110%. This is something we need to be jumping on, supporting this, supporting each other. Get this, blow this station up, blow it up, so we can, you know, be able to come together and we have a bigger platform, you know, where we can get our voice around even greater between each other. You know, and I think that's very important. And so that's what I have to say about that.
Oh, that's a, and you said enough, and you said it right too. And if the people can't understand that, you know, brother, I don't know how else to say it to, because we black and we talk black and we walk black and we act black. So we only know how to say it one way, you know? So,
absolutely.
You know, I want to taste, for real. I want to, you know, McVarsity, I really want to say thank you, as always, for giving that work on Facebook, giving that work on just with collectively talking to you. And, you know, I always feel comfortable asking questions about the herbs. And just, you know, you being a black nationalist, I definitely support that, because, you know, I only see one thing one way, and that if it's not about the melanated people, I don't know what else to tell you, because my agenda, like I tell people, my agenda is for the melanated people, because nobody else ain't worrying about us, so we got to worry about ourselves, and we got to love each other, like you said, because once we start loving each other and taking care of each other, those every aspect of what you mentioned tonight will manifest. It would definitely manifest. So I definitely want to thank you for calling in and giving us that work. And I can't wait to have you on again in the near future, so that we can definitely continue to build on some things. So thanks a lot, and we'll be talking soon, okay?
All right, appreciate you. Thanks
all
for
right,
having me.
Peace.
All right, peace.
Oh, man, what a show. I am really happy about this show. I mean, if you missed it, hey, I don't know what to tell you. You're going to have to come. You're going to have to go tomorrow and listen to it on the Blog Talk Radio, My Skin is My Sin. But you missed a great show. McVarsity Porte put in that work. So, but we're going to wrap it up, everybody. Before I go, I always want to shout out to our company. It's the Renaissance Hair Company that we provide extensions. It's a hair company that provides hair extensions, also tape, wigs, and all other types of hair, because this is our vehicle to be able to help the community and give back to the community economically, because almost $1 billion leave our community each year by the Koreans. So we try to get a part of this market so that we can buy land, we can buy grocery stores, you know what I mean? But you can follow us on Facebook at the Renaissance Hair Co. and Instagram, Renaissance Hair NYC. Also at Twitter, Get Our Hair. And you can email us at renaissancezora@gmail.com. And you also can call myself or Omar at 917-473-1041. And, you know, that's just our vehicle to be able to help the neighborhood. And we also, like I say, we're very political here. There is also a great debate that is going on here in New York, and I definitely have to shout them out, what's going on in the community, because it's important that we understand what's going on as well. Harlem has a great debate about the 2016 presidential election, delivering the black vote. Is it our choice, or were these candidates put on the table for us and we don't have a choice? So if you're in Harlem or if you're in New York, in the New York area, Monday, April 11, 2016 at 6:30 p.m., at Columbia University Law School at 435 West 116th Street, Amsterdam, at Amsterdam Avenue. So if you want to get involved in that, check the Facebook, which is NOLA D Moves. That's NOLA, N-O-L-A, D Moves, M-O-V-E-S. And I will have that on this event page if you want to check that out as well. So once again, we want to thank everybody for calling in. But before we leave the air, we do have a caller that I want to get through, you know, because we like to hear from people. And caller number 7076, you on the air?
Good evening, Queen.
Good evening. How are you?
I am doing fine. This is AJ. I'm over here listening, just observe.
Okay. AJ is the loudest. I'm telling you, he on my stand. You know, he's on the show Thursday, and sometimes they do a show on Tuesday. You got to check these guys out. They really be putting in that work. And I'm kind of fun to AJ because he a Gemini, and he know we give it up with no chaser.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. You know, at the same time, we could definitely be understated and hairy, but when it's time to, you know, speak our mind and give our points on any topic that we're well-rounded at, yes. You're going to catch it. You know, if you can't stand the heat, just step outside the kitchen. You know, I just wanted to call just to give you a shout-out. I'm loving it, and I'm listening. So, you know, just always support. Support my sister Nola. You know, she's definitely doing the thing. I'm loving it right now. And that's it. I didn't want to take your side or nothing. You know, just go ahead and do you.
Nah. You definitely take the shine. I always enjoy to hear from you, King. So definitely when you got it. You know, Geminis, we unite. That's just how we get down. Definitely appreciate you calling in and showing the support. And I definitely I'll be catching y'all guys tomorrow. You know what I mean? Because I know y'all going to put in that work. So thanks again for calling in and supporting me, brother, okay?
Okay, no doubt. Thank you for having the time, and thank everybody that's out there listening. This sister got deep knowledge for real, man. Take heed to what she's saying. Thank you, everybody. Have a blessed evening. Good night.
All right, peace. Man, it's always great to have people call in that supports the show, but also support us just as people. And this always needs to be a balance, because the kings definitely have to support the queens, and the queens vice versa have to support the kings, because it's a yin-yang situation, you know what I mean? But like I say, you know, I want to thank everybody for listening in. And I thank everybody for keeping it black, because that's all we know how to do. And like I say, stay black, act black, walk black, talk black. You know what I mean? I love you all, and this is a station that gives you what you need when you need it. We're going to send you back out with the good old Teddy Pendergrass. You know, we're going to run it again. Wake up, everybody. Thank you, guys, and take care.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. World has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. And the world is in their hands. When you teach the children to jump the very best you can. Make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer. Thank you.